Yeah. So I'm Pastor Nami, for anyone who doesn't know me, and welcome to all our visitors. It's always nice to meet new people. And yeah, Pastor Stephen unfortunately is not feeling well, but he sends his greetings. So, wow, what powerful worship. And just the response from the congregation, that was just beautiful. And the gentleman who was, you know, yelling out there, that was different, but really good. So thank you. Yeah, that was really, really good. So I'm going to share from Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. I'm sharing from the NIV. And it reads, "And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" If you're taking notes, the title of a message is Choosing the Better Thing. Choosing the Better Thing. Here we meet Jesus at a family home where one of the sisters, Martha, is the host. As you can imagine, as a host, Martha is busy that day. So Martha was distracted from Jesus. Her sister, on the other hand, if you were to switch on your locations on your GPS, she's in the same location as her sister, except unlike her sister, she's not running around. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's listening to Jesus close up, like at the movies or a show when you decide to go to the front row to make sure you take in everything. She doesn't want to miss a thing. The sister is beside herself. This is Martha. When she realizes what's happening, she realizes Mary is not helping with the guests or taking care of the kids that are running around. She's understandably annoyed. She reports her to the Lord, and he responds to her complaint in a very unique way. Hold that thought. We'll come back to that. Overall, we see that even though Mary seemed to be chilling at the feet of Jesus, Martha was distracted. However, these were valid distractions. You know, among the many hats, like many of you, that I wear is that of wife, mother, therapist, pastor, business person, family member. The list goes on and on. Some hats are bigger than others and need more time, more energy, more effort. Some hats fit more comfortably than others. You know, sometimes I wonder which of these hats I could just set aside and not have to wear, even for just one day. It's an ongoing challenge that I'm sure you can all relate to. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She's running around making sure that the food is cooking well. The tables are set and the decorations look good. The water for washing of the hands is ready to go. The serving dishes are there. She's making sure that all the guests are catered for. They have their snacks, their drinks. They've got comfortable seats. They know where the toilets are. At some point, though, in her busyness, she stopped because she was unsettled when she notices that her sister is missing in action. In fact, maybe the chicken nearly got burnt. Mary is nowhere to be found. The drinks have not been chilled. So Martha felt that what was happening was unfair. She felt her sister had it easy. That her sister was not putting in the effort. What have you looked at in your life that looked unfair? At home, at the office, at school if you're a student, in church, in your circle of connection. Has God ever seemed to you like he was just letting things just happen that shouldn't? I'm reminded of the story of Jonah. We know he got swallowed. And how he was upset that God was willing to forgive the people of Nineveh, the people who had disregarded him. There was this righteous anger that he felt. We see the same thing in Martha. She went to the Lord for him to do something about this injustice. I imagine her pace and the thoughts she was having as she was walking towards the Lord Jesus. Wait until the Lord realizes what's happening here. She hasn't lifted a finger. Look at her sitting over there. Wait until he hears that. He's going to sort her out. Martha accused the Lord of being non-responsive to this injustice, blaming him for her circumstances. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I wonder if you've ever been in that place where you're praying and you're asking God to tell someone to do something. Can anyone relate to that? Yes, thank you. The response that the Lord gave Martha would have come as a shock to her system. He talks about the one thing. Instead of giving Martha a big hug and saying, "Here, here, I'm so sorry your sister is being unfair," Jesus instead points out that actually your sister Mary is onto something. He points out that she has identified and chosen the one thing, the only thing, the better thing. He then adds, this would not be taken from her, neither by the Lord himself or by anyone else. What are those around you saying to you about where your focus lies? Most importantly, is the Lord pleased with where your focus lies? The Lord was pleased with where Mary's focus lay. Do not let people remove you from your place of surrender, your place of submission, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Martha did present her request to the Lord, except she was worried and upset. Often we're good at presenting things to the Lord, our concerns, our worries, and the things that upset us. But it's often a grocery list of the things we want the Lord to address immediately. And attached to that list is usually the sense of urgency and panic. We are worried and upset, just like Martha. You might be thinking, that's all good for Mary to choose the one thing, but my life is different. My life is too hectic, and I don't even know where to start. Have you ever had a situation where people ask you, how's your week been? And what do you say? Good. Busy. Do you hear that? Busy. I try very hard not to use the word busy, but never works. The thing is, we all need to do business with God. That's the solution. You need to do business with God. To do business with God, you need four things. Number one, you need a system. Number two, you need to stop. Number three, you need focus. Lastly, you need practice. A system is about being intentional. You need to set time aside. You need to make an appointment in your calendar, in your day, for the Lord. Just like all your other appointments. For a lot of us, we're just so busy. We're like, I just don't know where to fit quiet time in. I'm just so busy. That's the system. But you need to stop. There's a book that was written many years ago by Bill Hybels, who's an American preacher. Too Busy Not to Pray. And a summary that was written in the relaunch of the book was this. For over two decades, Too Busy Not to Pray has stood as a classic on prayer, helping Christians all over the world slow down to draw near to God. During those years, the world certainly hasn't slowed down. If anything, the pace, intensity, and number of distractions have only increased. Brokenness and pain seem to have increased as well, with news of civil war, poverty, broken families, and sex trafficking touching us daily. Two truths haven't changed in all these years. It goes on to say, God is the same powerful, just, holy God he's always been. And true prayer, prayer that changes us and allows us to participate in God's work in the world, can't happen on the fly. It cannot. So, Bill Hybels said, too busy not to pray. I say, too busy not to have a daily appointment with God. Someone should be able to ask you, what time was your appointment with God today? And you say, oh, 7 a.m., 5 a.m., it could be 11 p.m., some people are night owls, it doesn't matter, but did you have the appointment with him? I, for many years, struggled to have a time with the Lord until 3 years ago when I got really, really sick and the doctors didn't know what was wrong with me, and I was forced to seek the Lord. You don't want to be forced to seek the Lord. Just be proactive about it, right? So it's about setting it as an appointment. Some people use paper diaries, some people use electronic, but if we are followers of Christ, somebody should be able to look at your calendar and see, devotion, quiet time, whatever you call it. I mean, we put everything else, don't we? Coffee with a girlfriend, exercise, work. But where's the time with the Lord? Focus. Sometimes it's very difficult to prioritize, to organize and focus what is important. So this year I got diagnosed with an attention disorder, ADHD, and a lot of things started to make sense to me. I was always that child and adult who was easily distracted. Could not remember where I put things. Did not remember which way I came in and out a shopping center. Losing my sense of direction. You know, at work, I'd be working on one thing. Then a thought would pop into my mind. Then I'll go check an email. In the middle of checking the email, another thought would come. Then I'd attend. I don't know. Has anyone ever had that experience? A few people. Yeah? Okay. Doesn't mean we're all ADHD, but we live busy lives, right? It happens. Forgetting important children's appointments, medical appointments, double booking clients, you name it. So the idea of the one thing does not come naturally to me. And it doesn't come naturally to a lot of us. That's not the point. The point is we have to be intentional. Practice. You focus, but you also now have to practice. Our pastor in Port Hedland, Pastor David Hooper, used to engage the church through Friday night homemade pizzas. And then he preached a message series called Pray Like Pizza, just in case you don't know how to pray. Pray like pizza. And the idea was that when you sit down for your appointment with God, you can divide your time into the various slices of pizza. Sometimes you have some slices and others you won't have those slices. You get to pick and choose. Worship is a slice. Bible reading is a slice. Praying in tongues, if that's what you do, is a slice. Praise is a slice. And for myself, journaling is a slice. Sometimes you take a big bite of the slice, sometimes a small bite. It doesn't matter. He called it pray like pizza. I call it doing business with God. And the reason I call it doing business with God is because I believe all of us have got some stuff unresolved that we need to take to God. That's doing business with God. There's one question we all need to answer, and it's, how does one do business with God when everything seems to be falling apart? During life transitions, during times of grief and loss, when there's unexpected change, moments of confusion, when you enter unknown territory, stopping to do business with God will amaze you. It certainly amazed me. Because what you're doing is you're giving yourself, number one, the opportunity to praise Him for who He is, and being still and knowing that He is God who will be exalted among the nations. You are being reminded of your identity and authority in Christ when you do business with God. Talking to Him about your worries and surrendering all that is chaotic in your life. For some of us, call about 20 people before we decide, maybe I should pray. Right? Because sometimes you forget to pray. It's an opportunity to get instructions and wisdom on how to proceed with something. It's an opportunity to get answers to questions you've been asking. It's an opportunity to experience healing for the wounds that stop you from moving forward. Some of us are still carrying wounds from 20 years ago. You need to do business with God. It gives you an opportunity to understand that in the midst of confusion and suffering, hope lives. Mary has chosen what is better. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wonder what was going on for Mary. Why would she choose to sit at the feet of Jesus and not help her sister, who was clearly overwhelmed? I believe that while Martha needed an assistant for the day, perhaps Mary's need was bigger, deeper, greater. That's why she would do something like that. I wonder whether she was burdened with the responsibilities. Was she a mother? I'm not sure. Was she a business person? Was she grieving? Was she weary and needed rest? Like many of us today, we're weary and burdened. Because she came to Jesus and sat at His feet to learn from Him. Because it says that she was listening to Him. So she's taking some stuff in. She's calculating things. She's getting revelation. Maybe she too was too busy not to pray. So are we saying, or am I saying, that people should just forget all your responsibilities? Just come and sit at the feet of Jesus. Yes and no. We are saying, when you choose to sit at the feet of Jesus, whatever that looks like for you, because it's different for each person, when you choose that and listen, He will teach you something. Because He says, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's a promise. He doesn't lie. By sitting at the feet of Jesus, she essentially sat at the feet of the healer, the restorer, the provider, the one who sustains you, the bread of life, the living water, the one who makes you to lie down in green pastures. So whenever you go and do business with God or sit at the feet of Jesus, understand the multifaceted nature of what you are doing. You're not just going to do your devotion. You're entering a space. You're giving yourself an opportunity to access some things. You know, I've found when I'm sitting down there and I never know how the devotion is going to go. But I always have a journal. Journal, pen, coffee, or tea, depending on my mood. And I sit there and I have a system that I follow. Number one, I write song in my heart. Because I always wake up with a song in my head. I write the song. Then I write dream if I had a dream. If not, I just put an X. Then I say the Lord's Prayer. And then I decide who I'm going to focus on. Prayer focus is what I call it. The names that, you know, sometimes you have people's names that come to your mind. You don't know why. Someone you haven't thought of in 5 years, but you're thinking about them. They go under prayer focus. Then the list goes on of all the different things. There's different headings. But sometimes, out of nowhere, the Lord drops something. He answers a question that I didn't ask in that moment, but I asked it maybe 2 weeks ago. You know, sometimes we may be asking the Lord a question and wanting an answer, and it can feel like he's not hearing you. But it's not that he's not hearing you. It's that the answer is on its way. Sometimes we're just impatient. And so I have found every moment of doing business with God is different. There's an answer for something. There's an idea. You know, I had this interesting experience where I would be sitting there and I was trying to do things in order. But because of how my brain is all over the place, I start getting all these creative ideas. And I'm like, no, this is not the time for creative ideas. Stay over there. I'm trying to be structured here. But I found a way around that. I decided to come up with a topic, a heading called Creative Corner. So now that's part of my devotion. So that when ideas are popping into my head, I don't have to put them aside because I realize that that's all the Lord as well. Those ideas, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. You know? So it's understanding that. So what I'm saying is when you decide to do business with God, he will do things, he will say things, he will give you wisdom you didn't expect. The Lord has spoken to me about myself. He's spoken to me about my marriage, about my parenting, about my business, everything, you name it. He speaks to you about it. Try it if you haven't. I dare you to try it. By sitting at the feet of Jesus, she gave herself access to the healer. I'll get you to stand up. Where's our keyboard player? He's gone. Oh, guitar? Thanks, Lily. Yeah, I just want to give people an opportunity for prayer. I love being prayed for. Like, I really, really do. But quite often, I don't get the opportunity. But I'll often ask people, can you please pray for me? I usually ask my kids, from the youngest to the oldest. But pastors want to be prayed for as well. Just keep that in mind. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is a conversation with God. But it doesn't have to be a grocery list, because he wants to speak to you about your future, about your present, about your past. For some of us, our past is still dragging us down. For some of us, our past is keeping us in fear. For some of us, our past is keeping us in bondage, such that we're like dead men and dead women walking. And so I just want to give the opportunity right now that if there's anything that was spoken about there that really touched your heart and you need prayer in any area, please take the opportunity to come up for prayer. So a few things I've listed here that might be an area to pray into. Some people are performers. You're always performing. You're always distracted, like Martha. She was doing what had to be done. It's not that what she was doing was not important. It had to be done. But she was so unhappy in that moment because she was worried and upset. I'd like you to think about your own life. Where you are right now in life, are you happy? It's not just about happiness, by the way. Are you content? Are you at peace? Are you unburdened? Or does life just feel hard? Does life feel stressful? Does it feel overwhelming? Some people are overwhelmed and distracted by many things. Some of you are tired and need rest for your souls. He promises to give us rest for our souls. So I just want to give people an opportunity to just come for prayer. Don't be shy about it, because it's your life, not your neighbor's. But we want to take the opportunity. You know, sometimes when we call people out for prayer, sometimes I wish I could just come and pray, join the prayer line, but I can't because I'm the one praying. So please take the opportunity for prayer. Because I believe that, you know, when we get moments like this, Pastor Stephen always talks about Kairos. It's Kairos moments. Is it Kairos? Kairos moments. Moments in time. This is a moment in time right now. So it's an opportunity for you to connect with God, to get an encounter. God wants to speak. Don't let it pass you by. So please, we've got a few people who are prayers who will pray for you. So if you just want to come, it may not be something from here, but something else that you need prayer for. I'll just hang around a little while and then I'll just do a